Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving.
I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. I hope that you enjoy it with those that you'll gather with. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to ask you this morning to put your thinking caps on. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to cover a passage of scripture that is not easy to cover. The book of Hebrews may be the most difficult New Testament book to preach from. I know pastors, my son's former pastor, pastored for 20, 25 years, had a PhD and said he had not gotten to the point where he thought he could preach from Hebrews. It's a very difficult book. It's a book of advancement for those who know Christ. It's written to Jewish Christians, Hebrews. It's a book that deals with some false teaching that had come to these Hebrew Christians, as well as some Judaizing to go back into the Old Testament and apply some of that to their life. And they were confused. And the writer of Hebrews teaches them that there's a better way, a greater, more efficient way that does away with the old and brings in the new. In chapter 13 and verse 15, we read this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is a Thanksgiving sermon. Our passage, verses 9 through 14, is written to these Jewish Christians to show them the incredible distinction between the Jewish tradition and their new faith in Christ. The problem was that they were struggling with going back to their Old Testament roots, and the writer of Hebrews points out the failure of such an action. By describing the inferiority of the Old Testament system and the superiority of the New Testament system, the cross of Christ. And so verses 9 through 14 is an explanation, going back into the Old Testament to describe what could not suffice and pointing to the New Testament to that would suffice. And aren't you glad we don't have to go back and do all those things, those rituals, those festivals, those feasts, those sacrifices, any longer? He died once for all. And so we have a reason to practice verse 15. But before we get to the reason to practice verse 15, we got to look at the what. Amen?
Amen?
And there's a lot here, folks. And so you need to be thinking clearly, and you need to write these things down. Number one, notice that he says to these Hebrew believers that they have a greater way. Jesus said, I am the way. They have a greater way. In verse 9, they have greater truth. Verse 9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. False truth. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meat. When he says meats, he's talking about all the festivals, all the sacrifices that required the sacrifice of an animal. He said, you're carried away with that. You can't bring that back into your life. You can't think that doing that is going to offer you any kind of forgiveness or any kind of redemption. It's only by grace, he says. So they have a greater truth, verse 9. They have a greater altar, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Their altar was outside the gate. That altar was where they took the animals to be sacrificed. They would slit the throat of the animal. They would bleed the animal, pour the blood around the base of that altar, then put the animal on the altar and burn it. On some occasions, very rare occasions, they burned an animal outside the camp. They took it outside the camp. On some occasions, the priest and his family were allowed to partake in some of the meat because that was like a gift from the people to them, so they had something to eat. Amen? So the altar supplied for them sustenance, supplied for them provision. And he says in this verse that those who ministered, the high priest, had no right to our altar. They had no right to come to the cross thinking that the things that they were doing, the sacrifices, those things were going to be efficacious. They weren't. And so they had no provision in the New Testament if they were going to continue that way. Amen?
Amen.
They weren't going to get anything from it. So they had a greater altar. The altar is the cross of Christ. Number 3, they have a greater sacrifice, verses 11 and 12. For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin. This is the sin offering. This is when the high priest offered once for himself and then once for the people once every year. The blood. But it's important you understand this. They didn't get to eat of that sacrifice. The priest did not. That was a refused sacrifice. It was taken without the camp. It pictured the horrendous sin. It pictured the rejection by God of that animal. And so it was taken outside the camp and burned completely. It could provide no relief, no forgiveness for sin. It could do none of those things. Verse 12 says, wherefore Jesus also, this is important, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Where'd they take the thing that pictured sin? Outside the camp. Where'd they take the thing that was rejected by God? Outside the camp. Where did Jesus go? Outside the camp. Why? He took our sin. He became sin for us. Wait a minute. He was rejected by God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was rejected by his own people. They would not accept his position as Messiah. And so he suffered outside the camp. And what a picture to the nation of Israel of their Old Testament sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. How they must have thought, where, why? He was on Mount Calvary, way outside the camp. He suffered our reproach. He took our sin. He took the rejection of God, because God was judging in his very Son the sin of all mankind. It's an unbelievable picture. I mean, the Old Testament is filled with these pictures. So, there was a greater sacrifice. But verse 13 tells us, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. He's saying to the people of Israel, it's not going to do any good for you to stay inside the camp, keep offering sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. There was one already offered. Christ died, he said to them. You need to go where he was. You need to identify with him and stop identifying with those Old Testament sacrifices. Your identity in the person is in the person of Christ, not in your work. They had a greater responsibility, verse 13. Far greater than offering animals. Far greater than following the Aramaic priesthood system. Then verse 14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What did they worship? The Jews. Jerusalem. Golden city. Their city. Place that God seemed to set up his rule over the nation of Israel. Jerusalem! He says, that's a non-continuing city. That city's going to be put to dust someday. It was 70 AD. You're going to have no continuing city. And by the way, you're just sojourners here. Amen? Amen? We do have a city, but it's not here. We seek one to come. The Bible says that Abraham sought a city whose ruler and maker was God. He's saying to them, your provision is not in the Old Testament. Your provision is not in the sacrifices. Your provision is not in the feast days. Your provision is not in the work that the high priest did. Your provision is in Christ. So he said, you have a better way. You have a greater way. You have a greater sacrifice. You have a greater altar, a greater truth, a greater responsibility, a greater city, all God's people said. Amen. Wake up! He's saying to these Jewish Christians, don't go back. Don't try to use some of those other things. Trust Christ. And Christ alone. So he says to them, they have a greater way. A greater way. Folks, you need to understand that they have a greater way. Wait a minute, he says, they have greater mercy. Number two, all God's people said. Amen. Verse 9, listen very carefully. Their salvation was not in keeping the Jewish traditions. Formalities, food, feasts, the meat. Not in doing that. Their salvation was not going to be found in that. Why? Because it was only a covering. Only atoned for 1 year, and they had to do it all over again. But their salvation was found in grace. They were being kept by grace. For by grace, Paul tells us, you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's saying to them this. In verse 9, your salvation is not dependent upon the sacrifices, the meat offerings, the work of the priest. It's not going to do you any good. You have to give those things up and you have to turn to Christ.
Amen.
Their salvation was not in keeping the Jewish traditions, but in being kept by grace. Verse 9, chapter 13 of Hebrews. They have the greatest mercy. Is that not mercy? I think to myself of those Jewish believers. They tried so hard. They did so many things. They kept the traditions. Jesus walked on the scene and they didn't even recognize him. They were so taken by all the things that they were doing. All the practices that they thought was they were conforming to that was going to do them some kind of good. And they had standing in front of them the very person who could solve their problem, heal their soul, redeem them from their sin, give them everlasting life. They had the one who by grace could help them. Verse 10. Listen very carefully. They have the greatest mercy because their salvation was not in keeping the Jewish traditions. Number two, they have the greatest mercy because their security could not come through the efforts of the Jewish high priest. Verse 10. It doesn't matter what the priest did. We have an altar that is the cross of Christ. Write that down. Wherefore, they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. He's talking about the priests. They could eat of some sacrifices. They could have their sustenance from that. They could have provision through that. Amen? That was the way God wrote the law. You need to go to, you want to study that? Leviticus chapter 1 through chapter 17. He wrote the law and he said, the priest will get to partake of this particular sacrifice at this particular time, and it's always for the priest. So they had provision for them. Sustenance provided. They could partake of the provision that was offered. But they have no provision at the cross. Because their work would do no good. God wrote a new law that said, you come to the cross by faith. You come to the cross to receive Christ. You come to the cross, the cross, the cross. Simply look to the cross and stop looking back. Stop thinking about the priest. Stop thinking about what he did. His service could not render forgiveness of sin. The security could not come through the efforts of the Jewish high priest, but by Jesus Christ, our Melchizedek high priest. Different kind. Whoever makes intercession for us. The high priest went in every year to intercede for the people, offer sacrifice, blood. Did it every year. Could only work for 1 year. Christ went into the Holy of Holies, so to speak, in heaven. Presented the blood and never had to go there again. Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Do you see what it's saying here? He's trying to teach these people. You have the greater way. You have the greatest mercy. Here's the third thing. Their redemption, verse 12. did not come by way of a sacrifice that could only cover sin, but by a greater sacrifice that could take it away permanently. Verse 12. Wherefore Jesus, that he might sanctify the people, render them clean, with his own blood suffered without the gate. Jesus went outside and suffered for those people. See, if he would have stayed in Jerusalem and suffered, he would have been identifying more with the Jewish tradition than with God's desire. So he went outside and God said, no, you have to separate yourself. The people rejected you. You go out there and die. You pay your sin out there and die. And God, when he saw him becoming sin for us, he forsook him. Christ became sin for us. And this sacrifice did not cover sin. This sacrifice removed it. Amen. All God's people said. Amen. They have a greater way. Number two, they have the greatest mercy. If you can't see mercy in these five verses, something's wrong with you. They have the greatest mercy. Which then would cause, should cause, them to produce the greatest thanks. All God's people said. Amen. We come to Thanksgiving. We sit around a table with our loved ones and thank God for the food. Thank God for his provision. It's so wonderful to do. Amen. But our hearts should be far, far more involved than that. Should be far more removed from just that table than that. It should go back to that one-time sacrifice where Christ went without the camp, bearing our reproach, paid our sin debt, suffered in our stead, declared his mercy to us, gave us a better altar, a better truth, a better sacrifice, a greater responsibility, a permanent city. Amen. The reason for them to be thankful, it says in verse 15, by him therefore. Who's him? Jesus. What do you have to be thankful for? By him. We get up in the morning, what do we have to be thankful for? By him. Any list you write of your thanksgiving ought to have, first of all, foremost, the name Jesus. By him, therefore, because of Christ. Three reasons. You may write these down. Number one, it's because of Christ, because he had a completed work. It wasn't incomplete. Jewish traditions were incomplete. Folks, they only lasted a year. Because of Christ, because he had a completed work. Doesn't have to be done over again. Number two, because he gives, because of that completed work, he gives an endless life, all God's people said. We have a city to come, not one that continues here. We have a brand new city. We're going there someday, amen? And then, by him therefore, because he supplies forever fellowship. Do you notice that when the priest went into the altar and the priest did his work, there wasn't any fellowship between him and the people and God? No, there wasn't. People were not allowed to come into that Holy of Holies. They weren't allowed to go into the holy place. They weren't allowed to go inside the tabernacle. There was no fellowship. It was closed off to them. The holy place was shut out to them. But when Christ died, he made a way so that we all can go into that place. You remember that the curtain was rent from top to bottom, torn in half, to open the Holy of Holies to say, all are welcome here. There's a brand new fellowship. And we don't have to go through someone. We don't have to go through a high priest. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through anyone. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We go one way by him. Amen. And we can go into that place and have fellowship one with another. These should produce the greatest thanks, the reason for the thanks by him, therefore. The length of the thanks says in this same verse. How long is this supposed to last? Let us offer the sacrifices of praise continually to God. Wait a minute. It's not just on Thanksgiving Day. We're supposed to do it continually. Now, I know some days you may get up, you don't feel so thankful. Amen? Let's be honest. But you're still supposed to be thankful. If you're walking on one leg, have one arm, one eye, you're to be thankful. Sometimes we're the most thankless people in the world when we have the most to be thankful for. Here it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. I just can't imagine that. Continually. I don't do that, but I wished I did. The method of their praise, verse number 15. That is the fruit of our lips. How do we praise God? Shaking our head? We praise God by speaking, by singing, by praising, by praying. It's audible. It's all right for you to say amen. It's all right for you to be thankful and show it. The method of their praise is audible with our own lips. And there's one last thing. The object of their praise, giving thanks to his name. The names of God represent all that God is, all that God can be, all that God does. When you praise God, praise his names, you're in essence saying, you are the only one that deserves praise. After all, when we get to heaven, we're going to be glorifying God forever. Might as well get used to it, amen? Yeah. This little passage is so full of information that when we look at it, we ought to realize all that we've been delivered from, all that we've been brought to, all that grace has done for us, all that work won't do for us, and all that Christ is to us. And then we should be thankful. He doesn't start out with thanks. He tells them all the things first. Then he says, now, Here's what you need to be thankful for. Folks, let's be thankful on Thanksgiving. Let's be thankful to God. Let's be thankful to Christ. Lord, help us to love you and serve you. May we be a thankful people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.